This morning we're going to look at some supposed missing links. I called this lesson Neanderthal and Company. I thought that might be a recognizable word, kind of let you know where we're going. How many of you remember Cro-Magnon Man? Any hands? Cro-Magnon Man. He was in the list for quite a while. And then they finally figure out, oh, that's the guy out there building the autobahns right now. He's us. We are Cro-Magnon Man. As a matter of fact, the evidence for Cro-Magnon Man was they were wondering, how does he fit in evolution? Because he's taller and he's got more brain capacity than modern man. Oh, wait, that is modern man. Okay. So he left the list. You won't see him in here this morning, but there's a few others we'll look at. Wanted to throw this up there first. When Paul started writing to the church at Rome, this is what he said about those who don't believe in God. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations. Futile in their speculations. To me, that's exactly what the idea of evolution is. I don't even like to call it a theory. I've got one guy on, there's more than one guy on record, but I've got a video of one guy. We won't watch it this morning, but but he's a, as I like to say, he's a real high muckety muck in education and intellectual circles. And he's so accomplished, but he says it's not even a theory. It's not even a plausible theory, and he starts comparing it to chemistry and mathematics and things where you can take an idea to the laboratory and you can test it and work on it and see if your theory can hold water, so to speak. He says you don't even have that with evolution. There's nothing you can check or test, and so scientifically it doesn't even stand up as a legitimate theory. But it's a speculation. This is how we think it happened. And so I thought, well, let's see what the Bible would say about such speculations. And here is one. Neanderthal man. He was named for remains found in the Neander Valley of Germany. And there is one artist's impression of what Neanderthal man might have looked like. He had a similar brain capacity to modern humans. And his remains indicated that he walked erect, just like modern humans. So why is he not considered human? What's the difference? What's the problem? When you look out across the range of human beings presently existing, how different are we in shape and size and appearance? I mean, we're all human beings, but we do look different. We'll see a few pictures of some of those differences later, Lord willing. Here's another artist's impression. This made the papers, the London Times, London News. This is another Neanderthal representation. So which picture is accurate, the first one or this one? Or is this one more accurate? This is another one that appeared after the discovery of those fossils. That just looks like a gorilla with a club. It's very different. Still more Neanderthal possibilities. These are from museums around the world. And this guy looks a little more normal. And that guy, first time I saw that picture, I thought, I think I saw him at the truck stop a couple of weeks ago. But that's another representation of what a Neanderthal might have looked like. And I'm thinking, well, these are widely ranging pictures and representations of the same supposed person or same supposed type of human, you might say. Here's another one. This is a pretty pensive-looking guy here. What's he thinking about? Well, maybe he's thinking about her. I don't know, maybe that's supposed to be a Neanderthal girl. At any rate, what I'm showing you these pictures for is to let you know there's no way to know for sure what somebody looked like just because you find their skull. But it does kind of tell you when you see some of the first representations of what these guys are saying they would have looked like, and they look more like apes. Okay, that tells me there's a bias. This is not pure science where we know what's going on here. That's what we were told during the COVID thing. Follow the science. Why were we told follow the science? Well, for one thing, because they wanted conformity. They wanted us to conform. Wait a minute, isn't that biblical? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind anyway. They wanted conformity, but also to throw out that word science is as if to say, we know exactly what we're doing and all the questions have been answered and everything's been settled. That's what science is, quote unquote. And if you don't follow the science, you are a backwards brain dead idiot. That's the message that comes across. So follow the science, follow the science. And if you want to be in the crowd that knows what they're doing, then you might want to say, follow the science. Now, if you ever said that, I'm not saying, don't worry about that. I'm not throwing aspersions at you. I don't even have any, didn't bring any this morning. But I'm just saying, sometimes that's what is thrown out there. And it's not an objective way to approach any question. Do you want facts? Do you want truth? That's the question. But if you approach with a bias, you have to be aware of your own bias. How many of us have biases? Yeah, yeah. You don't have to raise your hand. We all know we all have biases. So we have to be willing to say, okay, what are the facts? What are the facts? And these are just some of the facts. But there's no way to know what these folks look like. In the soft tissue area based on some bones that have been found. And it's not like we've got millions and tons of Neanderthals. We don't. Very few fossilized remains. So, Neanderthals were human? I believe so. That's the conclusion that's being reached about them for various reasons. Number one, they did walk erect, stood upright just like we do. You might see pictures of Neanderthals, the older pictures, it will always be the older pictures, where, like ones we've seen earlier, they were stooped and they looked like apes or gorillas in one kind or another. They used animal skins for clothing. I don't know if you've ever worked with an animal skin. It's, oh yeah, that's easy, just go kill an animal and skin it and wear its clothes. It doesn't work like that. You've got to have the means to treat those things. You've got to figure out a way. And if you don't tan a hide, what happens to a green hide when it gets wet? Well, not when it gets wet, but when it starts to dry out, it shrinks. And so you've got to know what you're doing if you're going to use animal skins for clothing. And somehow they figured it out. Maybe because God made them in the first place and they were smart and they'd been wearing clothes ever since the Garden of Eden made out of animal skins. They made and they used tools. This is one of the things that anthropologists look for to separate humanity from the apes. Oh, they use tools until they found some chimpanzees that were using tools to harvest fruit in one of the jungles. So anyway, but they did use tools, and the more advanced the tools, the more you knew these had to be human beings. These weren't just sticks that were utilized. These were sticks that were shaped and formed, or stones that were napped to make a knife or an axe. Anybody in here ever napped flint? Bruce, I thought maybe you would have napped flint. Okay, John's napped some flint. It's really easy, isn't it? That's a complicated process. It's an art that you have to learn how to do. But you can make some pretty neat stuff because it's almost like God knew that we were going to need flint to make sharp things. Just the idea, by the way. The Sioux Indians out on the plains and all the other plains Indians, the Kiowa, who would kill a buffalo with handmade tools and then skin it out with not sharpened flint, but just flint that's been napped. Because when you nap it, it leaves a sharp edge. And if it gets dull, you just nap some more off the edge. Skin that thing out. That takes a lot of energy and a lot of ingenuity. But it's been done for thousands of years. They practiced ceremonial burial. And I'm not exactly sure how they determined this, but when you find bodies positioned in a certain way with artifacts around them, that indicates ceremonial burial. Their brain capacity was well within that of modern man. And there's one we're familiar with. You don't see him much anymore. But I used to see this guy all over the place, and I just saw a commercial a few weeks ago where it looks like he might be making a comeback. So, Heidelberg man. So we're moving on from the Neanderthal to the Heidelberg man. He's based on a single jawbone found near Heidelberg, Germany in 1907. And there's a picture of the jawbone. So how many skeletal remains do we have? Well, we have a jawbone. That's what we have. Claims persist that he's a link in an evolutionary chain. He's now conceded to be human. So they kept looking at that jawbone and analyzing it until they determined it's a human jawbone. Drawings, however, perpetuated the man-from-monkey idea until research prevailed. These are depictions, artist depictions, of Heidelberg man before they decided, well, he's actually a human being. So can you imagine, and some of us don't have to imagine, you're a young child in school, and this is being put in front of you. This is how man ascended from animals. This is the way it worked, and here's Heidelberg man. We found a jawbone, so we know that he looked like an ape, and this is what we're going to show you, and this is what we're going to say you have come from. And is it any wonder we've got the kind of behavior in our culture and society today that we do, so much animalistic behavior, because we've been taught for decades that this is what we have come from. Research prevailed. Now we know it was human. How much difference is there between those two pictures? So, follow the science. Follow the science. I don't mean to make fun. I'm trying to make a point. Make sure it's science before you follow it. What is science, by the way? We've talked about this before, I know, in different classes. The word science simply means knowledge. What do we know? That's the question. What do we know? Now, you can do research in different fields to determine things, discover things. But if you trust God, and God says, I was there, this is what happened, I know this is what happened because I'm the one that did it, and trusting God, I go, okay, now I know what happened. And somebody would question that. Well, that's just your faith. Well, tell me what this is. Tell me that this is not a faith. When you say, we've got some skeletal remains, perhaps fossilized remains, and we're going to draw pictures of what we think these people look like based on our bias, but this is science. No, it's not science. This is a faith. Here's another depiction of Heidelberg man. He looks a little different from that other guy. Now, wait a minute. Are we still talking about Mr. Heidelberg? Yep, that's him. There he is. See the first two that we've looked at? Well, there's another one right there from a jawbone. How do they know he had a brow like that from a jawbone? Well, you start with a bias, and you just work it right in. There's another one. He looks like one of the composers from the 16th century. I forget which one it was, but he looks like he had something to do with music. That's the first thing I thought when I saw that guy. Got a lot of variety in human beings. Have you ever heard of the Dinka people in the Congo or in Sudan? And then the Mabuti, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that word right, but it looks like Mabuti tribesmen in the Congo. The Mabuti tribesmen are here. They're these pygmy-looking guys. Is one of those any more human than the other? They're all human. There's a lot of variety among human beings. And so it makes perfect sense that we would find remains of people in the sediments of the world that have been that no longer with us. By the way, where'd those sediments come from? Came from Noah's flood. I believe when I read the scriptures, and God says there was a worldwide flood. And why did he bring that flood? Well, he brought that flood to wipe out the humanity that was then. And along with that, he wiped out all the living creatures on the planet except those that were on the ark with Noah. That's what the Bible tells us. And so it would make sense if that happened that we would find the remains of a lot of dead things in the sediments all over the world. By the way, the world is covered with waterborne sediment. This is another lesson altogether. We can talk about it again later. That'll be fine. But what else is in those sediments? We've got these things called fossil fuels buried all over the earth, and tons of it. I'm not exaggerating in the least. Coal, oil, and a natural gas. It's everywhere. And we haven't even tapped into all the resources. And I find that amazing. When I'm driving on the interstate, especially in the evenings when you can see all the taillights and you look ahead of you and it's taillights as far as you can see, and you look in your rear view and it's headlights as far as you can see, and this is just Oklahoma, I wonder, where did all the fuel come from? Not just fuel, but the oil that we need to lubricate all these engines. Where did all that stuff come from? Well, all of that, every bit of that, is a result of the stuff that God buried in Noah's flood. And we are now pumping it out and using it to energize our world. And are we missing the point? And we've got folks like these who still exist that show us, yeah, there's always been a wide range of humanity. So when you dig up remains of people, you might find a wide range in them as well. But they're all people. So we're looking at the missing links. What missing links have we got so far? We've got Neanderthal man, he was human. Heidelberg man, who was human. I should have added Cro-Magnon just for fun, and he's been also determined to be human. So we've got the Germans digging up guys in the Neander Valley and around Heidelberg. The English weren't to be outdone. They wanted to have one too. I'm not trying to make it sound like a competition, but here it is. By the way, there was quite a bit of competition. This fellow was discovered by Charles Dawson in a pit near Piltdown, England. That's why he's called the Piltdown Man. This was in 1912. By the way, this is Charles Dawson, not Charles Darwin. Don't make the confusion there, because it's easy to do when we're talking about these kind of things. He was determined to be a fraud in 1953, about 40 years later. And then in 2016, when DNA stuff came along, they really found out, oh, this is a fraud. This is a hoax. As the story goes, there was one guy, because there was some serious competition. Once Charles Darwin wrote his book, people started looking for fossilized remains of people to show, oh, yeah, we found this, and this does this. And, of course, to do that, you've got to have your own money, or somebody's got to fund you. And so what do to keep funding? Well, you have to succeed. You have to find something. You have to make some progress. You have to have something to show for all the money that somebody might be putting into you to find out what you're finding. Well, this one guy thought, I'm going to discredit my competitor by creating this fake skull and letting him find it. And then when he finds it and shows it to everybody else that knows is going to go, that's a fake. That's not even real. And he'll be ridiculed and drummed out of the business, and I'll be left. But everybody looked at it and said, this is wonderful. We're going to call this guy the Piltdown Man. And so for years and years, they went on talking about the Piltdown Man and his reality and his relationship to the human rising of humans. And then in 2016, it was proven most definitely to be a fraud. And yet, there we've got a picture of him. For 40 years, they talked about the Piltdown Man. He was on display in magazines and newspapers and museums. How many school children saw pictures of this guy and were taught that this is one of your ancestors? Forget about God creating man from the dust of the earth and breathing into him the breath of life. This is how you came to be. Your ancestor used to carry a spear and hunt around naked. That was before they had departments of fish and wildlife to say you had to wear orange. And where's his orange vest? Anyway. There's another depiction of him. Now tell me those guys don't look a little bit different. This guy looks like a cross between the creature of the Black Lagoon and a chimpanzee. But he looks very intelligent, because he's holding something and seems to be working on it like he's fashioning a tool and using a tool to fashion the tool. But this is all speculation. This is futile speculation from Romans chapter 1. So, back to the question, what missing links have we got? We got the Neanderthal that was human, Heidelberg that was human. We've got the Piltdown Man, never actually existed anymore. So, Darwin's book came out in 1959, Origin of the Species. And it made big waves in the scientific world. Any of you remember watching the movie Gettysburg? It was an excellent movie. I thought of a very good representation of how the Battle of Gettysburg might have gone. I'm bringing that up because General Pickett, you remember Pickett's charge? Maybe nobody else reads about the Civil War, but General Pickett led a charge around over open ground in front of the Union troops and lost a huge percentage of his force. It was tragic, tragic loss, no matter which side you're coming from. Well, in the movie, General Pickett is having a discussion with Charles Darwin's book with some of his other military guys sitting around because, of course, when did the Civil War happen? Well, that was the early 60s, 1860s, and Charles Darwin's book came out right before that, so they're discussing that in the movie. I don't know if that actually happened, but, that's interesting that they threw that in there because it shows you about the same time frame when Charles Darwin was becoming something popular to read and talk about. So now, Charlie's got his book out. Man has a scientific means to circumvent God. Oh, so we don't have to believe in God and creation. We can use this as an alternative to God. And that's what people cabbaged onto. And people still do that. So the search for fossils of man's supposed ancestors began to flourish in the following decades. And there was a lot of competition. You can imagine people going out looking for human remains, what they were hoping to find, what they were expecting to find. I did this as a kid, not looking for human remains. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to find a dinosaur bone? So I got myself a shovel and bucket and some stuff that I saw in pictures, and I went out to the creek and started digging and found a lot of stuff. Didn't find any dinosaur bones. Found bottles and cans and lots of trash, but no dinosaur bones. But it's inspiring when you read about this. Oh, yeah, I'll go out and dig and I'll find something. And these guys were doing that, and it was a big deal back in the day. Well, there's Nebraska man. He looks like a corn husker, doesn't he? I imagine that's his lovely wife there next to him doing the domestic chores. He's going off to play golf or hunt or something with his club. That's a depiction of him. His existence is based on a lone tooth that was found in Nebraska in 1917. See, they found them in Germany. They found them in England. Well, they were pretending to find them in England. And now, you know, we're not going to be outdone. We got to have something over here. So we got the Nebraska man. He was heralded as evidence of the first higher primate in North America. Higher primate. Is that what we are? Just a higher primate? That's what our children have been taught when they're taught this idea of evolution. It was retracted in 1927. Why was it retracted? Well, the tooth was determined to be from a peccary, which is a pig. They found a tooth. Hey, this is a human tooth. Let's create him. What do you think this guy looked like? Well, let's draw a picture of him and draw a picture of his wife. Let's put him in the textbooks for kids to see. And this is what happens when you start out with a bias. Cornhusker was actually a Razorback. I just threw that in there. Now, if you're watching online and you're in a foreign nation and you may not be understanding what Razorbacks and Cornhuskers are, those are some of our college football team names. So that's the joke that would only be understood in certain circles, so I apologize for that. So missing links. We're back to the missing links. What are they? Neanderthal was human. Heidelberg was human. Piltdown man never actually existed. Nebraska man, he turned out to be not a man, but a pig. Java man. Now I want coffee for some reason. There was a tooth discovered on Java in 1891. And then about a month later, they found a skull cap. Femurs and another tooth, and a year later, 15 meters away, some more remains were discovered. Teeth and femurs appear human. The skull cap admittedly was from a large gibbon. Gibbon is one of the apes. And these were not found all together like, you know, when you dig And you watch TV, you ever watch CSI, and they find a body and they dig, well, there's the head, so if the head's there, you know where the shoulder's going to be, and you can, there's the, sure enough, there's the shoulder, and okay, there's the rib cage, and you come on down, where's the legs going to be? Well, they're going to be below that. It's not this way. You find a bone here, and in that same area, you might find another bone, and go, okay, were these together? And then, well, how would, well, they're spread out all over the place. Now, that's the way nature works. I really wish I had taken pictures. I may have told you years ago, I was hunting on a man's land, and one of the first times I went out there, one of his horses had died, and he was just laying on the ground. It was a carcass of a horse. You know, a horse is a pretty good-sized animal. Well, another week or two would go by, and I'd come back out to hunt, and there's a little bit less of that horse this week. And pretty soon it was down to where it was just skeletal remains, and they were starting to be scattered all over the place. Because you know what happens out there. Possums and coons and every little creature that likes protein would come and scavenge off that body. They're not too picky about what they eat, and I'm thankful for that because it cleans up the environment. And it wasn't long before there was nothing, literally nothing left of that carcass because it had either decayed and been eaten or carried off. It was just gone. And so what would we hope to find? But these bones were found in the same general area, but there's no guarantee whatsoever that they all were from the same creature. That's what I'm trying to say. And sure enough, they weren't. So there's a controversy about the Java man. A book was written about it. And there's a depiction of him. And then there was another book written, or another version of the same book, actually. But what do you see on the front of that book? Java man, and then you see a picture of a skull. Did they have a skull? They didn't have a skull. Is that just a little bit misleading? It's misleading to me. I thought, okay, wow, you got a skull. That's not, well, you don't have a skull. So why would you put a picture of a skull on the front of your book if you don't actually have a skull for Java man? So, those four, Neanderthal, Heidelberg, Piltdown, Nebraska man, nothing there. Java man, the only identifiable bone that they had was from a gibbon. By the way, how many of you have heard of Java man? Okay, some of you have. I think he'd be a lot more in the news today, however, if he was really legit. Excuse me. Peking man, peeking out at you from the statue there, I guess. That's probably what those Chinese characters say. In this picture, what we've got are not the actual fossils, but casts of the fossils and some bone fragments. These were found around Peking. And this was a work that was going on in the late 1920s up into the 30s, just prior to World War II. And China's a big country. By the way, a lot of dinosaur fossils come out of China, a huge amount of dinosaur fossils. Is it any wonder? Because where do we get most of our dragon legends from? China, Japan, the Asia. But when we talk about dinosaurs, we're going to find out, oh, yeah, but if you think about it, there's dragon legends in every continent in the world. They're all over the place. Native Americans have dragon legends as well as South American tribes everywhere. A lot of them in Europe. As a matter of fact, that's our classic romantic depiction of dragons is a knight fighting a dragon. Well, that's because they had dinosaurs. But that's another evidence we'll talk about later. These casts were brought to the United States in 1941 by Frank Weidenreich. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but that's the picture of the guy there. So he was in charge of these casts. These are not the fossils, but the casts, and he brought these over in 1941. However, the actual fossils themselves were lost at the onset of World War II. Japan was invading China. And the story goes that they were trying to safeguard these. They didn't want them to fall into the Japanese hands because they probably wouldn't do with them what needed to be done with them as far as what they thought needed to be done with them. And so they boxed them up, were trying to ship them to the U.S. And it's From that point on, it's kind of vague what actually happened. Some say that they actually got into a U.S. ship, but the ship was torpedoed and sank. Another story says the Japanese found them and put them on a train and probably sold them to some Chinese people because they would grind them up and make powder out of them for magic medicines, whatever. Who knows what happened to them? We just don't have them anymore. So whatever remains there were are gone. So there's no way to prove anything from it. Yet we do have, from those few remains, renderings like this guy. I'm not trying to be funny, but he does remind me of Mr. Miyagi, who was also in Happy Days. And I know, yeah, he was Japanese, and this guy's Chinese, supposedly. At any rate, what are you going to make him look like? You don't even have facial skull bones to represent anything, so you got to make him look like something. And this guy, sure enough, looks just like all the other ape men that have been drawn and depicted for us. How much real science is there? Consider a few things. Did something that was not human give birth to something that was? That's what we're left to conclude if evolution is how we came into being. An animal, a creature that had no sentient nature, not like us, had a baby, and that baby had a sentient nature. That baby was human, but its mommy was not. That had to happen somewhere along the way, and that's a difficult thing for me to fathom, as it may be for you as well. But that's exactly what had to happen. If that little baby was born, little human baby from a non-human baby, was there going to be a beautiful young bride or loving husband available to marry once it came of age? How is it, when you talk about evolution at all, that there could be sexuality evolving at the same time, so there could be reproduction to keep whatever the species was going? That's another question. And there are a lot of questions like this when you start thinking about it. It's almost like you've got this big bowl, and inside the bowl are questions written on paper, folded up and crumpled, and you just reach in and there's a million of them and you just pull one out. Okay, here's a question. That's what these are. Just something to think about if evolution actually is how we got here. God said sin that brought death was the reason for man's fall. Evolution says it was millions of years of death, how we arose to be human. Death and change and mutation, whatever it might have been. And so we've got two very opposite stories. It's almost like in the Garden of Eden when the serpent comes to Eve and said, "Oh, you won't die. You can eat that fruit. As a matter of fact, if you eat that fruit, you'll be just as smart as God. You won't need God at all," is basically what Satan was saying. What does evolution say? It's the same message. You don't need God to explain how you got here. These bones explain how we got here. So, all these missing links, you've seen what they are. Some of them are human, some of them didn't exist, some of them were actually pigs or gibbons, and then we've got Peking Man all his remains are missing in action, so to speak. So this is what we know from observable science. Order doesn't come from accidents, which is what evolution is all about. There was a big explosion in the beginning. I don't know about you, but when I've seen things explode or been around an explosion, it's a mess. But we're told that this is how everything got started. There was a big explosion. The universe came into existence through that explosion. And gradual change brought order to everything. Order is an expression of mentality. This is what science, observable science, tells us. When you find an artifact, well, not even an artifact. I was up in the Teddy Roosevelt National Forest. What are you looking at? Those are 3-4 pieces of petrified wood. 3 on the bottom, 1 laid across the top. What's your immediate impression just about that? Oh, somebody's starting a fire. In other words, somebody placed those there. That was my immediate impression. That's why I took the picture. I thought, well, that's interesting. Oh, you know, that shows that somebody was here. That's just three stones. How many of you have been to Hawaii, to Maui, and you've been to that place up on, I forget what the road is, I think it's the North Road, but there's this idea of stacking up rocks. I think it's a sacred thing among the Hawaiians, but they just take rocks, and it's like one flat one, and then a smaller flat one on top of that, and a smaller flat one is just like a little pyramid of stones, and sometimes they'll get them up really high. And there, you see that, and you know, okay, people did that. Somebody did that. So how can you look at something like this, something as simple as that, or stones stacked in Hawaii, wherever you might find them, and say, somebody had to do that. But you look at a person and you say, oh, that's an accident. It's a wonderful accident that happened over millions and millions of years. And we just kept changing and changing and changing and getting better and better. But nothing else in the universe does that. So, abiogenesis. What is abiogenesis? That is the idea that life comes from non-life, and there's no way for it to happen. There's no scientific way to explain that happening. It's an idea. It's a theory. Well, this must be what happened because we're here. No, what must be what happened is that somebody created us. Here you got two options. God, who made everything, is one option, and we're called fools for believing in that. But what's the other option? Well, nothing exploded, became everything. And then from that life arose, and computers. Now what's a computer? Computer is an attempt to replicate what this does automatically. How did this arise? Accidentally. Now don't think about my brain. Think about your brain, and then you'll, oh yeah, that's a pretty amazing thing. Second law of thermodynamics. All the second law of thermodynamics says is everything running down. It's called entropy. And you increase entropy. Entropy is the loss of energy. And that's what happens in nature. Buy a new car. Drive it off the lot. What happens? It starts to lose value. Why does it lose value? Because now somebody knows, oh, it's been used. It's been in somebody else's hands. What's going to happen to it over the years? Have you ever heard of these people that call you and try to sell you an insurance policy for your car? You ever heard of that? That's a great. Why do they do that? Because they know your car's going to break down. That's what they tell you. That's their thing. Your car's going to break down. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars. Well, that's entropy. Everything wears out. Everything wears down. Things in the physical world do not last forever. So there's no way that you can look at a system, supposed system like evolution, that where everything changes to become better and better and better. It just doesn't work like that in the real world. There's no explanation for consciousness. How did you become aware? Aware of anything, much less aware of the question of whether or not evolution is how we got here or whether it was God. Can think about God. This is what God's told us. He created man and woman in his image on the sixth day. He created man from dust, but also made man a living soul. And then Jesus comes along and he corroborates that. He affirms that. And he says, God made a male and female from the beginning. So we're back to this idea. And even today, what are we being told? Well, sex is a relative thing. You can be whatever gender you identify as. Do you ever wonder, is it even worth trying to answer someone who can think something like that? I'm not trying to make a commentary about the worth of the individual, but I'm just saying if you're so far removed from reality that you can't see the most wonderful thing in the world, the difference in the sexes, what's more exciting to us, especially when we're young, than the fact if you're a young guy, oh, there's a young girl, I kind of like the way she looks, and she said, I hope he notices me. I'm going to act like I'm not paying attention to him, but I hope he's looking this way. It's thrilling. What are all our stories about? And every movie you watch, if there's not some guy and a girl, it's like, what's the point of watching this movie? What about a war picture? Tell me a war picture that doesn't have a love story somewhere intertwined in there. This is the stuff of life. And it's as if Satan himself has said, by the way, didn't Paul mention doctrines of demons somewhere in his writings? Like, let's just suck the joy out of everything. Let's make everything insane. Let's tell them there's no such thing as male and female. And let them argue over that. And then there's got to be some angels somewhere. Oh, that'll never happen. And here we are. It's nuts. Don't want to listen to God. So we'll listen to anything else. And that's what this is all about. You were created by God in his own image. Your sin separated you from God. Jesus paid your debt of sin. Count your faith as righteousness. Now that's a thing right there. When all I have to do is put my faith in Christ. And I'll count your faith as righteousness. Now, of course, we'll identify what that faith means and all that as Jesus identified it. But that's the plan. He continually washes away your sin as you continue to walk in the light. That's what we've got from God. The rest of it is, well, you've seen the rest of it. Any observations about any of this? We haven't had time for discussion. This is one of the reasons I was doing this. I thought maybe we'll have some time for discussion. But time's gone. Anybody got anything? Everybody still awake? D.W.? Right. We didn't even address the time issue here, per se, but that's... Exactly. There's a lot of detail like that if you really look into it and consider it, how these things are put together. And you could see even the ones that were casts made from fragments that had been fitted together like a puzzle. There's just nothing there. And then when you find something that's there's not much to it in the first place, you say, well, this was our ancestor. It's like, what? What? Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Lord love you. We're dismissed.